Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton, bringing you this week's edition of Earth and Home. Today, we will be reading from Mother Earth News, April-May 2025. Let's get started with the first article. Is gardening worth it financially? Plan and plant the best garden for your buck, by Patrice Lewis. We've all heard the story of the $900 tomato, stereotyped by first attempts at gardening in which costs keep spiraling until, finally, the novice gardener is able to harvest a single luscious tomato. When all the expenses are tallied up, that tomato ends up costing at least $900. Many people dive into gardening to save money, so the tale of that expensive tomato can be hugely discouraging. When you consider the cost plus the work involved, is it worth it? There are two reasons behind the $900 tomato. First, every startup garden needs infrastructure. This could include soil improvements, raised beds, tillers or other devices to turn over soil, fencing, drip irrigation or other watering options, pots, mulch, whatever the size of your gardening ambition, you'll need to invest time and money to bring it to fruition. Fortunately, most of these improvements are one-time expenses. And second, if you've never gardened before, you have a learning curve ahead of you. Unless you're very lucky, gardening isn't just a matter of planting seeds, watering them, and then reaping a generous harvest. It's a matter of understanding your soil, precipitation, pests, frost-free days, and other critical factors. It often takes a number of years to get things figured out. The mistake many beginning gardeners make is assuming they must have, well, a garden, a lush half-acre paradise that yields hundreds of pounds of fresh fruits and vegetables and gets on the cover of magazines to boot. If you try to duplicate either the success or the photos, especially at first, of these picture-perfect projects, you'll get discouraged. This is where many people question whether gardening is worth it financially. There are better ways. Instead of modeling your vision on someone else's huge, diverse, weed-free, and attractive garden, why not concentrate on growing something high-yield or expensive? Why not grow just what you love to eat? Why not have a biggest bang for your buck vegetable garden? The possibilities are endless. There are a few factors to consider when planning such a garden. Total yields per square foot, monetary value per pound, length of time it takes to grow, difficulties in growing, and of course your available space. In addition to value, certain foods go in and out of style. This year's hottest trends might be pink chicory, white asparagus, wasabi, or hop shoots. Often supplied by specialty growers and served by five-star restaurants, these pricey foods aren't likely to be found in your local grocery store. If you have a strong hankering for such delicacies, it may be worthwhile trying to grow them yourself. But most of us simply prefer to grow our favorite veggies, especially since prices keep rising at the grocery store. Even humble and easy-to-grow lettuce can be worth it, especially if you go through a lot of salad. Of course, you should grow what you eat and eat what you grow. Why grow kale if you loathe kale? Keep in mind, too, that sometimes the benefits of gardening transcend the costs. What are fresh air, warm sunshine, organic produce, and the satisfaction of a job well done worth to you? Not every factor has to be financial when it comes to gardening. With this in mind, let's look at some of the easiest, most productive, and best money-saving crops to grow. Vegetables that are easy to grow and don't require much space. These veggies can be grown in smaller spaces, raised beds, grow bags, or even containers on a patio. Depending on your climate, you might be able to grow two or three crops in one season. Beets, bok choy, carrots, garlic, lettuce or other salad greens, onions, potatoes, radishes, spinach, sweet and hot peppers, tomatoes. Fruits and vegetables that are easy to grow but require more space. Some vegetables require more space, either because they have a larger footprint, they grow by vining and sprawling, or because they need support structures, trellises, etc. Cucumbers, melons, cantaloupe, honeydew, watermelon, etc. Peas, pole beans, pumpkins, winter squashes, zucchini. Vegetables that require more space or attention, but are totally worth it. Some veggies require a bit more care and attention, but are incomparable in taste and quality when harvested fresh. Asparagus, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, corn. Most productive vegetables. Some vegetables are almost comically productive or very easy to grow. Beans, carrots, cucumbers, green onions, greens, arugula, lettuce, mustard greens, spinach, peas, potatoes, radishes, tomatoes, zucchini. Tremendously productive. High-value fruits and vegetables. Small fruits, some of the best produce on the market, are small, such as strawberries and blueberries. Aggregate berries, including raspberries and blackberries, are delicate, difficult to pick on a commercial basis, and have a short shelf life. However, berry plants are inexpensive, and once established, they grow like weeds, literally, producing gallons of abundant fruit. If you enjoy berries, it's definitely worth establishing your own beds. Blueberries can be costly for the initial plants, but once established, they'll reliably produce fruit for a quarter century or more. Mature blueberries can be tremendously productive over the course of their lifetime. Strawberries can be inexpensive if purchasing bare root plants and hugely productive. They have an added advantage of propagating themselves through runners, but once established, productive strawberry beds can last a lifetime. Asparagus. Order this in your typical restaurant and you'll pay a premium. Once you have a good bed, this perennial favorite will produce reliable crops year after year. Herbs and spices. Most fresh herbs cost a fortune at the grocery store. Fortunately, they're easy to grow and can be enormously productive. Herbs, especially those that tend to spread, are often best known in containers. Many herbs will reseed themselves and keep growing year after year, climate permitting. Basil, coriander, lovage, mint, oregano, parsley, rosemary, sage, thyme. The beauty of gardening is its flexibility. There are many ways to grow food, and you can still succeed despite money, space, or time limitations. Consider purchasing used materials, garden beds or pots, and seed starting supplies. Sourcing free materials, compost or mulch. Building your own, joining a community garden, or sharing both the labor and the harvest with a friend or neighbor. So, is gardening worth it overall? Yes and no. You can spend a fortune in upfront costs and end up with small harvests. Or you can take it one slow and inexpensive step at a time. Find frugal alternatives to pricey infrastructure. Learn as you grow and expand year by year as time, energy, and finances permit. With this path, gardening is absolutely worth it financially, and so are those luscious tomatoes and beautiful ears of corn you'll be delighted to harvest. Patrice Lewis is a wife, mother, homesteader, author, blogger, and speaker. An advocate of simple living and self-sufficiency, she has practiced and written about self-reliance, self-sufficiency, and preparedness for almost 30 years. That concludes the article, Is Gardening Worth It Financially? Now let's move on to the next article. First-hand reports. My favorite foods to freeze dry. Invest in a freeze dryer to significantly extend the shelf life of food. Story and photos by Elena McDonald. My husband and I own 1/3 acre smack dab in the middle of a small town in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, in our small town, we have only one daycare facility that's licensed and accepts children under 2, so I left my career in logistics to stay home to raise our children. Being a single-income family didn't come without its difficulties. However, using our land to create an urban homestead has alleviated much of the financial stress. We have 2 apple trees, with plans to expand this year, and 14 raised garden beds, with plenty of yard left for the kids to play. We also have our house on a bi-directional meter with 33 solar panels and a backup system for potential power outages. Outside of solar panels and gardening, I focus on food preservation to boost our savings. I advocate for safe canning but also enjoy other methods, such as dehydrating, freezing, and freeze-drying. The ability to preserve food allows our family to grow our crops in large quantities or shop local sales and buy in bulk to save money. I source a lot of our food locally via friends, neighbors, and farms. Even in town, we have a few neighbors with beautiful fruit trees and grapevines. 2 years ago, we noticed that a neighbor down the block had a bountiful cherry tree that wasn't being picked. I reached out to her, and she told me to take whatever I wanted. She does seasonal work and isn't home when it's ready. So we prune and tend the tree and then bring her cherry jelly and cherry limeade in exchange for allowing us the privilege of picking her cherries. It's been more than 10 years since I bought a single jar of jelly. Another neighbor down the road gives us free grapes, 5 to 15 gallons a year, which we use to make grape juice for our kids. So although we only have 1/3 acre, having neighbors who specialize in certain crops allows us to focus on other items and save space, time, and money. Freeze dry this, not that. Having access to large amounts of food all at once requires me to be able to preserve it for the long term, and freeze drying offers an exponentially longer shelf life in comparison with other preservation methods, 25 years. Another benefit of freeze drying is that it maintains nearly all the nutritional value of fresh food. Other methods of preservation, such as canning and dehydrating, use high temperatures that destroy some of the food's nutrients. But the preservation method I choose really depends on the item I'm looking to put up and the length of time I want to store it. Broccoli, for example, can't be safely canned because of density issues, which leaves you with dehydrating, freezing, or freeze-drying. Our freezers are full to the brim with beef, venison, and chicken, so if items can be freeze-dried or canned, those are my preferred methods. A few foods just don't do well in a freeze-dryer. These are typically more oily foods: peanut butter, chocolate, butter, honey, jam, jelly, and syrup. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Earth and Home, and I am your volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Let's get back to the article, My Favorite Foods to Freeze Dry. Other foods are perfect for freeze drying. Here are my favorites. Spinach. I blend it into a fine powder and sneak it into all of my kids' foods for a nutritional boost. Banana slices. Pro snacking tip. Use them as a chip and dip them into vanilla yogurt. Chicken noodle soup. Just add hot water and it's ready to eat in less than a minute. Mashed potatoes. We harvest potatoes from our garden to make mashed potatoes the way we like them, and then we freeze dry the mashed potatoes. This creates instant mashed potatoes. Just add hot water and it's ready to consume. Cayenne peppers. My husband uses a ton of cayenne pepper powder, so I grow many peppers and make the powder myself to avoid having to buy it from the store. Freeze-dried cayenne pepper powder is more potent than store-bought, so less is more. However, because it's freeze-dried, the flavor of the pepper is also richer. You get to taste the pepper before the heat kicks in. Yogurt. I make my own yogurt melts and yogurt bites for my kids. If you want to get fancy, you can make your own yogurt, flavor it with freeze-dried fruit powder, and then use a piping bag or molds to create small, bite-sized pieces. Jell-O. Yes, you can freeze-dry Jell-O. It holds its shape, too. Try fun molds such as hearts or skulls. Watermelon. This is my kids' favorite. It tastes like cotton candy, but it takes a long time to process, and I highly suggest removing the seeds first. Eggs. This may seem bizarre, but you can freeze dry eggs. Chickens typically lay a lot of eggs in summer and produce less in winter, so this is a great way to store eggs for winter. I freeze dry raw beaten eggs, which allows me to use them for baking or cooking. Zucchini bread mix. I freeze dry all the wet ingredients for my zucchini bread. Then, once I'm ready to bake, I add the dry ingredients and the water to reconstitute the freeze-dried ingredients. Mix and bake. Freeze-drying financials. Often freeze-drying and dehydrating get confused, as the processes seem similar, but they're vastly different. Dehydrating involves heat to remove water from foods through evaporation, while freeze-drying uses a process called sublimation. Sublimation, in simple terms, is the conversion of a substance, water, from a solid state to a gaseous state without it passing through a liquid state. Two major factors determine what phase: solid, liquid, or gas. A substance will take heat and atmospheric pressure. Freeze dryers freeze items, reduce the pressure within the chamber, and then add heat so the frozen water is sublimated. Owning a freeze dryer is an investment, as they're quite expensive. So, how much does it cost to run a load, and how long do loads typically take? Cost and time both have variable factors. Cost is dependent on the cost per kilowatt hour, kWh, where you reside, and possibly what season, winter versus summer. And time is dependent on how much water an item contains. The freeze-drying process typically takes between 20 and 40 hours to complete. Food type and quantity will affect the freeze-dry cycle. Foods with less moisture, such as meat, peas, and corn, dry quickly, while squash and watermelon can take longer. The thickness of the food slices will affect the cycle time too. I've had watermelon take upward of 72 hours. A small to medium-sized freeze dryer draws an average of 9 to 11 amps, 990 to 1,210 watts, of power per hour, which means a freeze dryer will cost an estimated $1.25 to $2.80 per day, depending on power costs in your area. I stuck a meter on my freeze dryer that let me monitor kWh and cost over the course of a month. While I did have a few days where I didn't run it, the monthly cost was $34.31. Pre-freezing food before freeze drying can save you money by reducing the amount of time and energy your freeze dryer needs to spend bringing the food down to the necessary freezing temperature, essentially making the freeze-drying process more efficient and lowering overall energy usage. If you have little likes, like I do, freeze-dried yogurt bites and freeze-dried fruits are a hot commodity. Buying them from the store gets so very expensive. Let's say you have your own apple tree. How long would it take just processing apples versus having to buy them to pay off a medium freeze dryer? A local major retailer sells freeze-dried apples for $2.61 per ounce. Freeze-drying one load of apples yielded me 21.2 ounces. Had I bought that amount from the store, it would have cost $55.33. Freeze-drying the apples took me 45 hours, and if I assume the highest cost in electricity at $2.80 per day, the electrical cost would be $5.25, a savings of just over $50 per load. I used canning jars for short-term storage, so there was no Mylar bag cost or oxygen absorber cost. A medium freeze dryer after tax is roughly $2,600 to $2,900. It would take 53 loads of apples to pay off the machine. That means I could pay off the machine after 113 days of freeze drying apples if I also consider the defrost period of 4 to 6 hours between each load. Another way many owners of freeze dryers offset the cost of the machine is to sell freeze-dried products or offer services locally and start a small business. However, my advice, as someone who has taken this route, is to check with your state law to make sure you're properly licensed. In Wisconsin, freeze drying doesn't currently fall under cottage law, which allows individuals to sell baked goods made at home, and must be done in a state-inspected commercial kitchen. This is because freeze drying can preserve bacteria present in the food you want to preserve, rather than killing it as baking does. Even some temperature-controlled products, such as dairy and meat, made in a commercial kitchen, can't be sold without additional verification and product testing to ensure product safety. Regardless, our urban homestead has allowed us to embrace a simpler, more self-reliant way of life. On just 1/3 acre, we've managed to grow our own food, harness solar power, and preserve what we harvest to save money and reduce waste. Freeze drying has been a game changer, helping us make the most of bulk foods and extend their shelf life while keeping the nutrition intact. It's also a joy to connect with neighbors and share resources, like trading cherry jelly for access to a fruit tree. This journey hasn't always been easy, but it's been worth it, teaching us to work with what we have, care for the environment, and pass these values on to our kids. Elena McDonald is a mom, a modern homesteader, and a math major. She likes running the numbers and saving money. When she's not gardening or preserving food, she loves to game, travel, and hang out with her horse. That concludes the article, My Favorite Foods to Freeze Dry. Next, we'll read News from Mother, Independence and Interdependence. The longer we live on Earth, the more we recognize the need to learn the skills required to take care of our families and ourselves. With each passing year, we also increasingly want to take care of our communities in times of certainty and uncertainty. Many of you have been doing this quietly for years, growing food, sustainably foraging wild foods, learning how to make and use herbal remedies, dreaming of, and sometimes even achieving, energy independence. Perhaps you engage in these activities to live more lightly on the earth, because truly there's nothing sustainable about papayas flown in from Peru in April, or in solely relying on tired, drought-prone areas in the United States to produce the bulk of our country's food. Or maybe rising prices and various shortages have you leaning into raising food yourself more than ever. The quality difference is significant as well. When you grow your own food and harvest it minutes rather than weeks before dinner, it nourishes in a way the plastic-wrapped tastes of a warehouse stuff simply can't compete with. The simple acts of growing food, making medicines, and foraging in the woods are deeply satisfying. They're good for us, and they keep our hands busy while giving our minds a break from our phones and the news. With this in mind, we bring you our newest issue. Is gardening worth it financially? Will help you choose crops that are easy to grow and yield abundant harvests. It reminds us growers to get those perennial crops in now. They're an upfront investment that'll pay off many times over for years to come. Ask our experts. Lists vegetables that do well in raised beds. So even if you don't have a garden yet or you live in the city, we hope this encourages you to start where you are and use what you have. One small pot of vegetables or herbs on an urban balcony is that much less you have to buy from the store. Herbs for Children's Health provides recipes for homemade teas, salves, and more to help the kids in your life stay healthy. Plus, the recipes are adult-friendly too. Seven Foraged Foods shares easy-to-identify, widely distributed, and healthy wild foods. We hope you can enjoy a couple of these forageables as the seasons unfold. The microgrid encourages us to consider ways to provide our own power when the utility companies can't because of natural disasters. Gone Off Grid outlines ways we can all reduce our power usage, whether we're off-grid or not. Many of the tips in these articles are as good for the planet as they are for our wallets. Finally, create a thriving local food scene. Reminds us that we're always stronger together. Check out your list of local farmers markets, pick your owns, and community supported agriculture CSA programs. As you're able, commit some of your food budget to supporting them in good times and in bad. As you plan your garden, plant an extra row of potatoes for the food pantry and some herbs or peppers to gift in your local giveaway group. We're planting extra Jimmy Nardello sweet frying peppers, by the way. What are some of your favorites? Reach across the fence to share a basket of rhubarb or herbs with a neighbor. As spring and the growing season unfold, may you be filled with hope and action. Whatever the world brings our way, when we work to build our knowledge and learn new skills, and when we commit to supporting those around us, we'll be stronger and healthier than we've ever been. Mother. That concludes Independence and Interdependence. We have time to read a few articles from Country Lore Reader's Tips to Live By. Wire Basket Veggie Washing. The basket I use to gather veggies from the garden is made of a tight mesh wire. It can be put under running water to get the majority or even all of the dirt, leaves, etc. off the veggies. Then I roll the veggies onto my veggie drying mat to inspect, clean them a little more if necessary, and dry them off. Deanna, Michigan. Repurpose old golf clubs. Old golf clubs are a treasure. They can be found at yard sales for as little as 10 cents a piece. It takes bolt cutters and some muscle to get rid of the club ends, thus leaving a sturdy and sharper end for multiple purposes. They work well as short fence posts for securing tarps, etc. They're easily pushed into the earth without the need for tools. They're great for gardening projects and easy to store and use year after year. Sylvia, Pennsylvania. That concludes Country Lore Reader's Tips to Live By. If you missed any part of this program or are interested in another program, check out our on-demand menu on sunsounds.org. We are at the conclusion of this week's Earth and Home program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Thank you for tuning in this week. Join me next time for another new and informative program. Have a great week and stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.